This is the Nordic Football Guys Podcast.
What is up, everybody? We are the Nordic Football Guys. I am your host, Hayden, and I am joined, as always, with my co-host, Antti. Antti, would you say hello, please?
Moro, moro. What's up, guys?
Hey, dude. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. You know, the weather in Helsinki is taking a downturn a bit, so It's been raining. Well, it's like maybe for the good, because we want our places to be green.
Yeah.
And the sun has been torching us for the past 2 weeks, so.
Yeah, I'm like three shades darker, I feel. I've been outside for so long, and yeah. And it's good because there was like talks of forest fires and stuff, that those were going to like start happening if we didn't get some rain, so.
Well, happy. Yeah, maybe that's good then.
Yeah, I'm happy we got some rain. But yeah,
I don't tan. I only have like two colors. I have white and I have red.
Yeah, well, it looks like you've used enough sunscreen then.
Yeah, I do that.
But yeah, I feel like you and I, we haven't talked in like a really long time. I know we've played a couple of games, but other than that, it's been like probably a week, I feel, almost.
Well, you were road tripping.
Yeah.
How was that, by the way?
It was awesome. We went to a bunch of nice little towns. We hope to have those on Instagram soon, so you can see all the towns that I went to. That's kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. We went west coast of Finland, so it was a lot of water, a lot of sun. Luckily, the weather was great. It wasn't like it is today. Lots of walking, and about halfway through, I realized, hey, it's time for me to get in shape. So I was having a hard time at the end there from all the walking, so. Yeah, I took a page out of Antti's book. I got a watch that tracks everything. I'm starting to watch what I eat and everything. So life is different now.
Nice to hear, yeah.
Yeah.
Road tripping in Finland, it's fun. I mean, yeah, we have lots of beautiful places. For those who you don't know, we have like plenty of sea line. Maybe like on the top of my head, I want to say that half of Finland has a sea line. But I'm not completely sure if that's true. I always forget Lapland.
Yeah, it's up there and not with the sea. But it's really pretty.
Well, from Lapland, there's only a short distance. You have to go a bit to Norway, but there's the ice, the Arctic Sea is right there. So
that's a good point.
That kind of counts.
Yeah.
We have the Russia on the east, so we don't have sea there.
That's true. One thing I was really surprised about when I was road tripping, there's this one town called Pori, which is like, I wasn't surprised that was there because I've heard of that place. But
when I come from Pori, do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. But there is a like beach in Pori that
Uteri.
Yeah, Uteri, that we went to, and that is like a real beach. Like it seemed like we were in like the Mediterranean somewhere, or in like back home in North Carolina, with like huge, long white sand beaches with dunes. It was awesome. It was like super great. And the weather was perfect. It was like almost 26 and sunny. And
yeah, wonderful. We have a couple of those. There's one in Kalajoki, close where I'm from. That's also very famous.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so, I have to go.
Yeah, it's like called the Dune Beach.
Mm, cool.
Or the Sand Dune Beach in Finnish, of course. But yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. I started to, for if any of you are interested in Finnish, learning the Finnish language, you can start learning it on Duolingo. I've been playing around with that for a couple of weeks or a couple of days now. So
cool. Yeah, I mentioned you in Twitter that you should like play it through.
Yeah, once I saw that, I started playing. So thanks for the tip.
You have to thank Zach. I mean, he's the one who tweeted it, and then I just mentioned it to you.
Yeah, I
guess I like social media guys are starting to learn Finnish as well.
Yeah, everybody wants to know. It's the new language, man. It's going to be a big language in a couple of years. But so what have you been up to?
Well, this week, being quite busy at work, actually. We have this cool project going on. Other than that, it's like taking advantage of the nice weather we had past week. So it's basically like work. The daytime, then some exercising, then beach, and that like repeated itself 5 times. So and these past like 24 hours I've been studying, basically trying to catch up since we agreed our internal deadline that Brad already
pushed a week.
Pushed a week for. But yeah, and I was meant to be ready like today, a couple of hours ago. Didn't make it, but now it's just fine tuning, making sure I don't have major mistakes in the stat lines and everything. So I will be done tomorrow for sure.
Awesome. Yeah.
Learning experience for sure. I mean, there's so much to take account for and so many players that you have to actually like think about. Now maybe they don't have any fantasy relevance, but they still take away targets and then yards away from somebody else. So
yeah. And that's actually a good topic for today, because with us we have a really exciting guest for this
week. Yeah, for sure.
Probably one of our most exciting guests we've ever had, and one that I am very, like, I've been looking forward to basically since we got in contact with this person. Her name is Lauren Carpenter, and she is a fantasy sports writer for Fantasy Pros, but not only Fantasy Pros, but also the Fantasy Footballers. So really excited to have her on and listen to what she has to say. We're going to have some questions about her. We're going to talk comps, I think, a little bit. We're going to, like, compare players. We're going,
yeah, like close to ADPs, who she likes better and so on.
Yeah, and we're going to go over some of her work, like the articles that she's written recently, and I'm really excited. So
yeah, well, before we go there, since you have been playing Duolingo, can you say what's Lauren's name would be in Finnish?
Laura.
Yeah, but the last name as well.
You want me to pronounce her English name in...
No, it's in Finnish. Laura Puuseppä.
Puuseppä. That I didn't know.
Puuseppä. Carpenter is Puuseppä in Finnish.
Puuseppä. So it's Laura, I guess that makes sense
that we are interviewing now.
Wood is puu.
Yes. Right?
And then carpenters work with wood. I get it.
Yeah. Seppä is like Smith.
Okay. Woodsmith. So,
yeah. Cool. Woodsmith.
Awesome. All right. So we'll cut over to that interview now, and I hope you guys enjoy. All right, we're now joined with Laura. Laura, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, that's Lauren, but you know.
I'm so sorry, Lauren.
That's okay. Time differences, man. Jet lag. Especially for me, where you are in Finland to where I am in Florida. Way too much in those interwebs.
Actually, that might be my fault because I was like messing with Hayden's head just when we were doing the intro. Your name in Finnish is Laura.
Your last name
is Puuseppä. So your Finnish name is Laura Puuseppä. Maybe you want to learn that. Yeah,
I could never repeat
like
that.
It's like a woodsmith. So.
Huh. Believe me, I've been called way worse.
Yeah, well, carpenter, woodsmith, you know, same old.
So, yeah. Lauren, sorry about that again. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us about your fantasy background.
So I got into fantasy football. One of my best friends actually plays fantasy football, and he was struggling with who to start on his roster. This is years and years ago. I want to say like 5 or 6 years ago. And I was looking at it and was like, what is this interesting game of which you are playing? So he explained it to me, and I'm like, I have to get in on this. So we ended up the next year, we ended up starting a fantasy football league, and I won. Which then became the addiction that is fantasy football, especially if you win. So from then on, I really just started digging into statistics and looking at players. And I used to play sports, so it worked really well for my personality. I'm very competitive. I grew up with two guys. I watch sports all the time. I played sports. I'm from a very sport-oriented city in St. Louis. So I just kind of fell into it, and I was very lucky enough to get in touch with some pretty heavy hitters in the industry, which was awesome, like Adam Rank from the NFL Network. He's fantastic. And then the Fantasy Footballers, who I listened to for a while, I ended up lucky enough to be able to apply for them and to be one of their writers. And then from there, that spun into me writing for Fantasy Pros, which has been relatively new. So I'm writing for both outlets, and I absolutely love it because no one is really ever right. Or if you are right, you're very right. Or if you're wrong, you're very wrong. But it's all how you see people in statistics. And it's just so much fun. Every Thursday, Sunday, Monday, you are on the edge of your seat, shoving your face full of snacks. Maybe that's just me. Nail biting, just like you want to win so badly. But it's really fun to dive into these players, into the stats, into the teams, and just I think the best is when you hit on a player that you have predicted to do well. That is really what gets me. But the most fun I have is actually helping other people with their lineups and starts and sits decisions, because it's kind of a team sport. And when you think about it that way, I really like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you have any like examples of preseason that you hit on and that you seemed like a genius?
Mark Andrews. So Mark, I had a big piece on Mark Andrews last year, and he was going really late in drafts last year as well. But in the off season last year, I wrote how he was basically going to be the next Travis Kelce or George Kittle. And I just compared all of the numbers and the metrics to him. And he ended up, like we saw, he ended up hitting hard. And it was great because I had Mark Andrews shares everywhere. And I got him in like the 9th to 11th round in drafts. And now he's considered an elite tight end, which is very exciting. That was my biggest hit, but I've also not hit on some too, which is actually a weird one. Kenyon Drake was one that I said he would be a secret weapon in 2019. And that was still for Miami Dolphins, but I did get lucky because he got traded. So then he ended up really doing really well, but that wasn't really foreseen in the article. So I can't take any credit, but I'm a David Johnson truther. And that came back to bite me in the butt. But I'm still a David Johnson truther. I can't let it go, especially with him in Houston.
Yeah, one more year, right? Fingers crossed for that.
I know. I mean, Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me thrice, you're dead to me. I don't know. But I'll still always go back to David Johnson. I can't help it.
I might have a hot take for you. I have Duke going higher than David next year.
Really? That's bold.
That's very bold.
Yeah, because of all the receiving work. I believe
that's true. That's true. Without DeAndre Hopkins, the problem is Deshaun Watson just doesn't necessarily target his running backs. So I think what we're really going to have to look at, and the only reason that I even would go with David Johnson over Duke Johnson is because Bill O'Brien is going to have to justify this trade. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be use him early, use him often. Otherwise, you know, beware Texans. Like, I wouldn't want to be Bill O'Brien anyway, but especially after that trade. So that makes me lean towards David Johnson. And just because I love his talent, and I just hope they don't use him as the, you know, between the tackles type of runner, because that's not who he is. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, the talent is there. Duke Johnson is going to snipe. And it's going to be annoying because whenever you see one of them score a touchdown, it's going to be Johnson. And then you'd be like, which Johnson? And it's going to be D Johnson. And you're like, I get it. Which D Johnson? And you're looking at your phone and you're like, who scored? No. Yeah, that's going to be me every Sunday. I know it.
I've already had issues with that when I was trying to make a trade yesterday.
Oh my God, yes.
You really have to pay attention.
You do.
Yeah, especially now. But yeah. One thing I wanted to know about Mark Andrews, you were so high on him last year. What was it about him that interested you? Because they also had the early draft pick guy of Hayden Hurst there. So how did you see the talent of Mark Andrews?
Oddly enough, this is what happens when you research fantasy football. I was Alice in Wonderland and fell down the rabbit hole researching Baker Mayfield. So it was actually through my research of Baker Mayfield in college that turned me on to Mark Andrews for the NFL. So it was through that connection that I started looking at Mark Andrews. And I'm like, really not many people are talking about this guy. And also two good friends of mine, Travis and Johnny of the Fantasy Whispers, they had agreed with me too. So I was thinking, okay, I'm not totally crazy thinking this. So I just kind of ran with it just to see where the numbers would come up with. But it was researching Baker Mayfield of all people that I fell into. Oh, I would love to fall into Mark Andrews' arms. Fantasy-wise speaking, guys. Fantasy football-wise, I should add.
Fair enough.
But I hope he does the same thing for me this year without Hayden Hurst.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. What do you think of the trade of Hayden Hurst, by the way, to Atlanta? Do you think that he's going to do anything there? Because he had it seemed like he had the opportunity for a while, at least in with the Ravens, but it didn't pan out there. So that's kind of an interesting thought.
I think he is going to do well. But don't forget, there's also Nick Boyle and there was also Mark Andrews there. And Hayden Hurst cut into Mark Andrews a lot. I specifically remember that happening several times as the Mark Andrews owner last year. So when you have a lot of mouths to feed and you have a quarterback that is more of a running back than he is really a, you know, passer, words are escaping me at the moment. I think it did limit his opportunity. So now he's in Atlanta. So he's in a high flying offense. I think this is going to be an excellent year for Matt Ryan, and it may take him a couple weeks to get his feet underneath him. But I think once he does and establishes some chemistry and a rapport with Matt Ryan and he fits in that offense, I think he's going to explode. And the one person I'll point to as, you know, that potential where Hayden Hurst can be is Austin Hooper. He did fantastic. And I think Hayden Hurst is actually a better athlete than Austin Hooper is. Not that I'm saying that Austin Hooper is not an athletic person. That's not what I'm saying. They're both beasts. So I think he has the opportunity to shine just like Hooper did.
Hmm. We agree on Matt Ryan. I have just him just barely under 5,000 yards this year and 30 touchdowns. So I think he's going to be top five for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And he's also going pretty late in drafts as well. So you can get a pretty decent stack if you are right in that spot where you can get Julio. You can also get Matt Ryan and stack those two positions as well. I like that for sure.
Yeah, Matt Ryan is somebody I'm pretty much going after for.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I love Matt Ryan this year.
So you talked a little bit about Austin Hooper. So that's another trade that I want to kind of to pick your brain on. Yeah, kind of doesn't help anybody in that situation, at least in my mind. What do you think about it?
As Adam Rank would say, hashtag that helps no one. There are so many mouths to feed in Cleveland. It's scary how much, can they feed everyone? I mean, is this going to happen? I'm not sure. But I think for Austin Hooper's production specifically, I think this does hurt him fantasy football-wise. He can also contribute, you know, in real football, but that doesn't really equate for us playing fake football. Mm-hmm. So I don't love the transition for him in Cleveland as much, because you've got OBJ, you've got Jarvis Landry, David Njoku is still there. You've got Kareem Hunt, you've got Nick Chubb. I mean, there are so many people there that are on the field that I just worry the volume isn't going to be present, which in fantasy football, as we say, volume is king. So that it worries me for Austin Hooper. I'm avoiding him this year.
Yeah. Not only that, but there's no guarantee that he's going to take over all of David Njoku's work.
Yeah, like David Njoku is a good player.
And I completely agree. And he really hasn't shown in the fantasy aspect, like, ever. So to think that even if he was to take over everything that he's done, I don't know. There's a reason that I traded with Antti for Hayden Hurst.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or was it with you, Antti?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But, yeah, it was Marlon Mack and Hayden Hurst for Darius Slayton and Preston Williams.
It was a financial trade.
Hayden has Jonathan Taylor, so that's justified.
I needed Mac.
Yeah, a little bit. Win-win trade for sure. Yeah, it's strange about Cleveland. They basically only have, when you look at wide receivers, they have Landry and OBJ. Then they have like guys like Radley and Higgins and Donovan Peoples-Jones, who like they are irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like completely irrelevant. Yeah. But still, their tight ends won't get anything done fantasy-wise, so... Yeah, it's a strange sound.
And they have to rely on Baker Mayfield. I mean, I think he can take a step forward this year, but it's not like we're talking about Drew Brees or Matt Ryan or Tom Brady. I mean, there are a lot of people to feed, and there's going to have to be a ton of targets to make anyone except for OBJ and sometimes Jarvis Landry, just depending on the matchup, fantasy relevant. So I agree.
Maybe we go for some of the comps that we were talking about earlier that we want to bring up to you. So maybe go like bit by bit and then like sidetrack again somewhere else. But Dalvin Cook's situation is still unclear. If we don't take this moment, we have to pretend that he wasn't holding out. Mm-hmm. Would you go after Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry?
Oh, that's a great question. Derrick
and
Henry.
It's a half PPR.
Yeah. I would. Oh, that's tough. Okay. I'm going to go Derrick Henry. That is a tough decision, you know, in the vacuum of no holdout anyway. Yeah. But I think because of sustainability concerns with Dalvin Cook, I would go Derrick Henry in that position. If I'm the person who is, let's say, stuck with taking Dalvin Cook, because he is an excellent running back, but if I don't really have another RB1 option to take and I have to take him, I am going to have to be more than prepared to reach for Alexander Mattison as my handcuff. So I think no matter what, I think Derrick Henry is going to play more games. I mean, that knock on wood, because we don't want to wish injury on anybody, but it's a very slim margin, but I will take Derrick Henry.
With the holdout in mind, would you consider maybe reaching for Joe Mixon before going for Cook at this point?
This is where I'm going to be the worst guest ever. I will never have Joe Mixon on any team that I have ever. I don't care if somebody traded me a guaranteed win. I would never have that guy on my team ever. So, no.
I would love to hear your reason for why.
Too many letdowns?
You just don't like him?
I, I don't care for him as a person. I don't care for some off-field antics in college. Of course, I really haven't like looked in to see if he's done anything to show remorse, if he's gotten involved with any, you know, maybe anti-domestic violence causes. I just don't have any respect for that. And I don't want to perpetuate that by being hypocritical and putting him on my team. That being said, I want everyone to know, if you do have that mentality, but you want to draft him anyway, that is totally cool. I am not going to judge anyone for having a very good running back on your squad. It's just something I've had and I've stuck with. And I don't know, it's a tough one for me. And I have the kind of similar things with Tyreek Hill and some of these other players. But for some reason, that Joe Mixon one is one I'm just going to stick with because I don't want to backtrack and backpedal. I've been very staunch on that. But, I mean, I'm all about second chances for players, for sure. We all make mistakes. We're all human. But just for me personally on that one, I'm staying away from Joe Mixon, and I think he's overhyped. I think that he's, everyone always says, this is the year he's going to be, you know, top five, blah, blah, blah. And I know we have Joe Burrow there. I know AJ Green is back, but I'll believe it when I see it, and then I'll cheer for him and for everyone else who has him on their team, but I'm not going to have him personally.
Hey, that's fair enough.
Yeah, we have to respect that for sure. Yeah.
Yes, you have to respect it because I said so. I'm just totally.
And we
again,
do.
If anyone else wants to have him on their team, I'm not going to hate for sure. That's just my own personal standpoint on it.
Fair enough. So yeah. What about like, I don't know who the next one would be, Nick Chubb or Josh Jacobs then? Would you consider them over Cook?
That's a good comp. Yes. I would consider both Nick Chubb and Josh Jacobs over Dalvin Cook, but I would lean Josh Jacobs because of volume. I am afraid that Kareem Hunt will begin to eat into Nick Chubb's workload, kind of like what happened. We saw that happen at the end of last year. And I like Josh Jacobs as that RB1. He's pretty much still that unquestioned featured back. He's young. I think he's got a lot of talent. So I do like Josh Jacobs. I actually have several shares of him in Dynasty this year as well.
Yeah, he's quite young and he had an amazing rookie season. I'm really excited to see what he could possibly do this year. I know that Our Twitter guy, Zach, is in love with Josh Jacobs. He's like his RB1 or RB2. So maybe not RB1 because that would be crazy. But his RB, like, 2 or 3, he's really, really high on him. So
I think he's my RB1. I think in two Dynasty Leagues, I have him as my RB1 to keep for the long haul. So I don't think it's that crazy.
I mean, like, in redraft leagues, there are some very clear, like, tiers. That,
oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah, you can get, yeah, okay, yeah. I see what you mean now. My bad.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, well, just check. It's a running team, basically, and he has nobody behind him, so he's going to get pretty much all the snaps and all the shares and everything. So,
well, he has that QB1, Derek Carr, just slinging it all over the field too, doesn't he? No.
And he's there still somehow. Every year I feel Derek Carr, it's like, this is the year we're going to replace Derek Carr.
Root for him though. Like, I really do root for him to do well. I just feel like he should, but he doesn't.
He had one really okay season, like really good season. And everyone felt like, all right, this is the guy. And I feel like he's still kind of riding it. And I do like Derek Carr. Whenever I see him, like, do anything that's not football related, he seems like a good guy.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. His brother Dave is cool. I mean, I really want him to do well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if wishes were pennies or whatever the phrase goes, I don't know.
Yeah, he's not taking many chances, though. It's like playing it safe. That shows in the yards he throws, and his accuracy is, of course, top-notch because of that. But
But they got some pretty interesting rookie receivers this year, and people are saying that perhaps Ruggs can take over that Amari Cooper vacated role that's been there for like a year now. So
yeah,
if Henry Ruggs is what people are saying, that would bode well for Derek Carr, and I it could be an interesting year for him. Well, I guess we'll have to see. Maybe a year down the road.
I think for me on that offense, if there is one player besides Josh Jacobs, of course, and Darren Waller, I'm interested in Hunter Renfrow in PPR formats. Just like Ante, you were saying, I mean, he doesn't take big chances. He kind of dumps it off quite a bit. So I'm curious. I would stash him and see if there are matchup plays that he would be really useful at. But unfortunately, that also does cut into a lot of Darren Waller's work with the rookies that have been added. So we'll see how that offense plays out.
Yeah, I have Hunter Renfrow via the wide receiver one of that team. And that being said, he's not still very high,
right?
Even though he's a wide receiver. But you know, but it's a close bunch for sure. I have Ruggs as their third and Williams as their second. We had Thor Nystrom from Rotherworld in as our guest, and he said that Henry Ruggs is an interesting player because he might be valuable for the football, but his playing style is such that he's not necessarily a fantasy value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. And that's one of the biggest things. Like, we all love rookies because there's really nothing else to do in the offseason. So we get so invested in these rookies, and then the draft comes, and then we're either like super excited or we're super disappointed with where they land. But oftentimes we forget that the NFL draft isn't about fantasy football. It's about real football. So where they may be relevant on a real football field, they're not relevant in fantasy football. So I think that's it's a line that we have to remember for rookies as we get super excited about them going places. And for Dynasty, not so much, because you can hang on to guys and trade them away and do those things. But in redraft, I'm seeing a lot of rookies go in mock drafts that I've done. And it's interesting to me. Unless they're a very hyped running back like a Jonathan Taylor, I tend to stay away from rookies, like especially wide receivers. Those are, I'll pick them up off the waiver wire if I think they're going to make any kind of a splash type of thing.
Yeah. We are the same, and if Jonathan Taylor type of players, they're usually too high for my test in ADP in any way. So I don't see the value there. So I like to steer away from them as well. Hayden, you take chances sometimes on rookies.
I do occasionally, maybe later, and like you said, picking them up off waivers. Or I do like to. I do have a thing where in redrafts I draft my defenses and kickers one round early so that I can pick the rookie that has fallen that interests me the most that could potentially pan out, or maybe a quarterback that's really a late sleeper that nobody's going to draft just so I can have them on my team. But for the most part, I wait for waiver wires. I did want to kind of segue over to this like off season, because we're talking about rookies now. And you said that you're not super high on rookies anyway, but because we have this really weird offseason where teams aren't meeting as much, or it might happen that they're not meeting at all, who knows what's going to happen? Does that affect the way that you view even these like top tier players like Clyde Edwards and Jonathan Taylor?
That is a really good question. And I should have brought up Clyde Edwards-Helaire before. He especially, in Jonathan Taylor, I'm sure there's a few I'm not thinking of off the top of my head, are ones that I definitely will look at in drafts if they fall to the correct place where I feel comfortable taking them. But just like you said, taking a shot on rookies, especially rookie wide receivers, if they might hit in the right opportunity. For example, I love Jerry Jeudy this year. I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on him late. However, like you brought up, this is a weird year. And one of the things the fantasy footballers talked about in a podcast, I think last week, was how do we prepare in our drafts and for this upcoming year with coronavirus? I mean, because if somebody gets sick, like, who's going to be gone for 2 weeks? I mean, are we going to have to go to the handcuff of the handcuff in order to have these guys on our team? Are we going to have to be looking at practice squad people like to evaluate like who we need to pick up off waivers? So it's going to be a very interesting year. So depending on my mood in a draft, which generally depends on how much I've been drinking during the draft, is whether or not I'm going to take a flyer on a rookie wide receiver, or if I'm going to play it safe and maybe stack up on some handcuffs that may be a better decision to have, because there's such massive implications about with this virus going around. I mean, what's going to happen if the entire offensive line is sick? Like, what do we do then? It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy to think about. So this year is going to be weird no matter what.
Yeah. Also, like the trades that have been happening, mm-hmm. for example, Stefon Diggs to Buffalo. So would you think, who do you have first there? Do you have John Brown or Stefon Diggs with this offseason?
That is a really tough call. I'm not high on either of them, to be honest. I think Josh Allen is still going to be a scrambler. He's still going to be a runner. I do like Josh Allen. I wouldn't mind having John Brown in streamable options for redraft. I'm not talking about Dynasty. But I think Stefon Diggs' price is maybe a little high, and I don't think you'd be able to get him off of waivers to stream him, whereas I believe John Brown, you can. So Cole Beasley is still there too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we still have Cole Beasley there as well. So we're looking at two deep field speedsters. It's going to be a flip a coin on which one is going to be getting the look. So we'll see if the chemistry that Josh Allen has created with John Brown, is going to outweigh Stephon Diggs' talent in coming in as basically the competitor as the wideout. So we'll see. I'm not sure. But with coronavirus, who knows? Maybe Josh Allen's like, dude, I don't know who you are. Here you go, John Brown. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a big worry for all of these big trades. Like,
yeah, even, you know, especially for offensive lines as well. I just hate to go back to the O-lines here. But, you know, so much – I mean, I've never played offensive line, obviously. But, you know, from what I understand, chemistry is a very important glue and a gel for offensive lines. And the GM for the Jets brought that up when they really spent a lot of money, I believe it was $40 million, to get a new offensive line. And he said cohesiveness and chemistry are one of the number one things besides talent that makes these offensive lines work. So what are we going to do if they don't have, you know, a lot of time together in person? I mean, there's only so much Zoom can do for people when it comes to a sport. So we'll see. We'll see how this pans out.
Hmm. That's a good segue. Trades and coronavirus situation. One big trade that happened was the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Oh yeah.
I almost already know the answer from you for this comp, but do you have Julio Jones or DeAndre in redraft?
Oh God. Julio. But again, by such a small margin, I know it's going to be Julio. I think he is going to have the touchdowns like we have worried about in years past. It just seems like there's a bubble around the end zone for that poor man. And I think he's going to get the touchdowns this year. Liz Loza, she actually brought up like a Julio's Last Dance kind of article piece, which is fantastic read. I think it's going to be Julio. I don't know how well DeAndre Hopkins is going to do with the Cardinals under Kyler Murray. Not to say that they're going to do poorly. I think they will do well, but I don't think it's going to be the DeAndre Hopkins we're used to. So I would give Julio the nod here in that case.
What if we throw Davante Adams there as well?
That's tough too. Julio, I'm saying Julio. Who? I'm gonna plant my flag and I'm sticking with it.
All right.
Sorry, I just like screamed in the microphone.
It's all good.
It's completely okay.
We can fix that in post. No worries.
Comps more?
Yeah.
All right. This will be interesting for my taste. Miles Sanders or Aaron Jones?
Oh, man, this is tough. I actually just had somebody ask me on Twitter today how I felt about Miles Sanders. Honestly, this is going to be one that I'm going to go back and research more because Aaron Jones scares me and Miles Sanders scares me. So really, it's going to look at which one scares me less. I am tempted to go Miles Sanders because of the volume without Jordan Howard. Jamal Williams is still with Green Bay Packers, right? Unless I missed something. Jamal Williams has basically been a thorn in Aaron Rodgers' side. I understand Mike McCarthy is gone and that's supposed to change things. We saw that last year. I get it. I don't know. My fear factor is a little bit higher for Aaron Jones than it is for Miles Sanders. But I want to dig into that. Maybe I'll write a piece about maybe comparing those two or just looking at Miles Sanders and what his opportunity looks like in 2020. Because it seems very nebulous to me, but that's probably just me.
What exactly about Miles Sanders is it that worries you? Is it just that the Eagles don't seem so keen on, like, they seem to have an issue with him and I can't figure out what the issue is. Is that kind of what's bothering you as well?
Yeah, and I think that's why I want to go in and look at it so I don't sound like I'm spewing crap. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Fair enough.
It does happen, I'm just saying. But for me, it feels like Doug Peterson doesn't like to rely on that ground and pound one guy to get it done. I feel like he utilizes a lot of other running backs. I mean, Boston Scott is there. Who else is there too? There's a couple other names I'm just not thinking of at the top of my head. So even though Jordan Howard is gone, there are still other running backs that are in the mix. And I feel like we'll be disappointed because they may see the reads because Doug Peterson likes to be creative and he likes to do things that aren't very traditional. Sorry, here comes my dog in the background. Sorry.
Hey.
Oh, that door was shut. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's why it scares me, but I really want to look into that and really figure out what is it that's making me hesitant about it, and if it's, you know, justified or not. So that's where I'm thinking right now.
Fair enough. And Aaron Jones is a very clear reason to be hesitant, because there's no way he's going to reproduce what he did last year. Like, he was amazing if you had him on your team last year, but nearly impossible for him to do that again. The touchdowns have to come down. I wouldn't be surprised if they were cut in half. Because what was it, like 16 touchdowns, 18 touchdowns?
I don't know. 16 touchdowns.
And Aaron Rodgers made it clear he really likes to rely on Aaron Jones. But again, there's something there that I just cannot put my finger on that scares me about both of those running backs. So I need to figure out what that is. This requires further research.
I'm really interested. You have to send us the article once it's done.
I will. Yeah. I'll let you know.
Yes, please.
Yeah, how I see it, I like both. I mean, in Philly, they basically only have Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. I mean,
yeah, okay,
on top
that's
of
it,
that,
right?
They have Michael Warren, second, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't see him doing much.
Yeah.
exactly. And Aaron Jones, he might be dropping quite a lot because people are like...
That is a good point.
Regression and such. Even though he has only like 9 touchdowns, which a lot less, 7 less than last year, and about the same yardages, he still scores like almost 17 points a game. So
that's a good point, because if even being scared of these guys, if they're falling to a certain round, sorry, I'm taking them anyway. I'll just be scared every Sunday and deal with it, you know, whatever. But yeah, if they're falling to the right round because other people have a hesitancy to draft them, I'm all in. I'll just drink more.
I would like to take Aaron Jones in mid-second in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that would be fair for sure. Especially if you want to get a stud running back in the beginning, you're going to just completely close your 2 running back starters and really not have to worry about it. And then if you want to get another stud, because there are other stud running backs that are going later as the quote RB2, you have an automatic stud at your flex. So yeah.
For sure. I was reading your article about the mock draft that the Ballers did. And actually, last year in my first league, I was drafting the 12th.
Yeah, it's tough.
So yeah, I wish that article would have come year before.
I think I've never heard of them actually drafting from that last position. So it was a very interesting mock draft to cover, because I tend to always end up at the end. So I'm like, where was this 3 years ago?
Yeah,
I need this too.
And the biggest lesson was that you have to reach. You can't play the ADP game.
Right. And don't worry about it too. Yeah, and I think a lot of people, and that was kind of, I liked to hear that, because when you're in a draft, I'm sure everybody has that guy or gal in their league that's like, oh my God, I can't believe you went for him now. It's so early, blah, blah. Who cares? Get the guys you want on your team, especially if you're going to be in those end spots. You cannot hope that they are going to come back around to you in like 40 picks. Not going to happen. Go get them. So don't be afraid to do that. I love that. I deal with that in one league, and I always get hate. Pretty much every pick I take, I get hate. And I just remind them, I'm a rider here, folks. You're doing.
Hate's the best part of fantasy football.
I know. It's a ton of fun. I love it, because it's an all-male league. I think they're a lot older than I am, so I'm pretty much the odd lady out, if you will. But it is one of my favorite leagues to be in, because showing those guys up is one of the most fun things. And even though they outwardly are like, boo, hiss, they are like, get them, girl. Just crush it, which is really neat.
That's
pretty
nice.
How many leagues are you in, if you even know?
I haven't counted. I think I'm in like 18 leagues.
Oh, 18.
Wow. I think it's going to be 18 this year.
Huh.
So you must have a little piece of almost every player.
I do, which is sometimes actually, no, all the time's not fun, because I'm like, yes, let's go to touchdown. I'm like, no, dang it. Very hard to follow. And my poor husband has to try to follow along with me to be like, who do we root for? Never mind. I'm just going to go eat. You do you and cry in the corner, which is usually what I do. It's fine.
He and I
are in a league together too, so he knows what I'm doing in our league. But in all my other leagues, I tend to try to keep my teams as consistent as possible, because there's a reason why I target those guys, because I think they're going to have the upside. So my teams generally look similar across the board. Sometimes there's a player here or there that is not the same, which can lead to tears and gnashing of teeth.
Do you dabble more in redrafts or dynasty?
Redrafts. So I am in, this is actually my first year playing dynasty. It terrifies me because I'm like, wait a minute, I have to keep these guys like forever? I don't like that. I'm used to just like, let's cycle through these boys like tissue. Let's go. But no, it's kind of scary. So I'm in several dynasty leagues this year, but mostly redraft is where I focus my research and my writing and most of my leagues. So dynasty is, I'm still a little bit new to it. I tend to just redirect every trade that comes in my direction because it's garbage and they're trying to take advantage of a newbie player. So I say no, unless it's really good, then I'll take it.
There you go.
That's good.
Now people just stop sending me trades.
Like, okay. Yeah, that's one way to turn people off, I guess.
I know. Say,
I'm not interested. But
yeah, I know. Yeah. And so one guy said, I sent a trade to almost everyone in the league and I checked my trades. I'm like, I don't have a trade offer, but I reject it on principle.
Fair enough. Yeah.
In our dynasty league, whenever there's a trade and of course they had to be a like clear trade winner, so the trade loser will get smacked. Like,
oh yeah,
1 hour straight in WhatsApp group.
Yeah, I think it was actually bothering Monte a little bit at the end of it there.
Yeah, like in that kind of thing, like doesn't fit the Finnish culture that much.
Yeah,
I understand smack talk like during the week, game week. Like for example, last year when me and Hayden, we happened to be the first matchup, he was talking me smack like 1 week straight, and then ended up losing.
It was his first game ever.
Oh, yeah. Come on. That's awesome, Auntie. Get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when we were talking before that, like it depends who you are losing to, if you are a sole loser or not. I was almost saying that if I lose to Hayden, then I'm a sole loser, but I have never lost to Hayden, so I wouldn't know.
Burn. Yeah, Hayden. What?
Definitely got me.
Yeah. Anyways, enough of the gloat.
I love it.
More calm, shall we?
Yeah, let's tell her what that trade was first, the one that we were talking about recently. The one that was I got Aaron Jones. I won the trade. I have to say it, right? Because we've been talking about it. I got Aaron Jones and Devontae Parker and his first and second for Dalvin Cook.
It's a pretty heavy trade.
It is.
One-sided there.
Yeah. It wasn't Ante, of course. But
no, it wasn't me. Yeah, in Dynasty, it's like when I first started playing Dynasty, I don't value those picks as much, nearly as much as some people do.
Right. Because,
again, the rookies, for me, it's like a coin toss.
Right.
Not even a coin toss, like weighted coin toss when you have like 33% chance of getting it right, even in the first round.
I'm not even sure if I have any picks next year.
Yeah.
I just don't care. Like, meh.
They're there somewhere.
Yeah, but then again,
may have like two picks next year.
Yeah, other people in our league value them, so it's like you have to like think of what other people value. And
exactly, and that's what I think that's a decent strategy. But what do I know? This is my first year in Dynasty, but yeah. But when it's just ridiculous, I'm getting offered like fourth and fifth round picks for like one of my stud players. I'm like, what?
Get out of here!
Yeah, exactly. Get out of here. Open trash can. Insert trade. No.
It's almost insulting. That happens all the time, too, especially in Dynasty. I really feel for you.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Now they just stop. Like I said, they just stop sending me garbage, which is nice.
That's good. QB, who's your first? Mahomes or Lamar?
Man, I think it's going to depend on what kind of league you're in. If you have a quarterback rushing that, you know, scores a lot of points with their legs, it's going to be Lamar. If you're in a league where I'm in a particular league, which is actually the same one I'm in with my husband, we have ridiculously insane bonuses for quarterbacks. They make the Scott Fishbowl look like child's play. It is nuts. I mean, it is not out of the realm of possibility for your quarterback to score 99 points in a game. So they have to be your best player on the team, and they have to not throw interceptions, and they have to throw a lot, and that would be Patrick Mahomes. So I think I'll go Pat Mahomes here. I do like Lamar Jackson, though. They're so good, both of them. So good.
That's yeah. actually an interesting league. I want to hear a little
It's fascinating. It's not even PPR either. Yeah, we score so many bonuses. So it's funny. I'll tweet out, you know, if we have a matchup, I'll tweet it out. People are like, what kind of league are you in? Because it's like 257 to like 229. It's nuts how many points we score, but it's so much fun when you're just constantly raking in these points. So we get to, I'll have to send you the league settings because this was the first league I was ever in. So I thought all fantasy football was like that until I actually got into it and was in several leagues. I'm like, oh, this is just nuts, but I like it.
Does it affect the value of like quarterbacks during draft time?
It
must, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So if you don't have an elite quarterback on your squad, you're toast. I mean, good luck. Unless you get really lucky and hit, like last year was a Lamar Jackson. The year, you know, 2 years before that was Pat Mahomes. I think I got that year right. But you got them late and they turned out to be studs. That's if you get super lucky. But yeah, usually the first round, it is stud quarterbacks that go first, which is the antithesis of, you know, what the strategy is to wait on a late round quarterback where you get your value. But when that one player scores that many points on your team. But if you're in a draft spot that you don't get an elite, you know, quarterback, like I'm not going to take Carson Wentz in the first round. I can wait, but I would take Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson if you were available to me. And I would reach for players like Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and I would not have a single problem with that.
Cool. That's an awesome league. I guess
it's super fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. You said that it was like interceptions were penalized heavily and stuff. So,
yes.
So that
I
must
have even -4 or -6 for interceptions.
Okay, so that must boost people like Aaron Rodgers even that maybe not the greatest like regular redraft player, but he doesn't throw picks. So
he also doesn't throw big bombs, like, and he doesn't do it very often. So we have a lot of bonuses for those big bomb fields. So we can literally rack up 40 to 50 points in one play for a quarterback if it's a huge bomb. And then your receiver also gets all of those first down points, then the bonus yardage all the way down to the touchdown bonuses. So it's crazy. It's crazy. So Aaron Rodgers typically doesn't do well in our league. Not enough chances, big long chances being taken when you compare them to Drew Brees or Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson.
Cool.
He doesn't do horrible, just not awesome.
Right. Not a first rounder.
Right. Not a first rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah, like different scoring formats are, but game may make like keeps the game interesting. Like for now, we are in a dynasty between like some Twitter folks, like other podcasters, and it was like an auction bid. Mm-hmm. Dynasty, slow clock, and then yeah, me and Hayden are actually competing there. And it's like one QB, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, 5 flexes, 1 super flex, 20 bench.
Interesting.
And it's half PPR for running backs, 0.75 for wide receivers, and 4.4 for tight ends. So it's like a tight end premium sort of.
Yeah. That's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard of a structure like that. That's cool. Yeah, and like when you kind of switch it up from what you're used to all the time, you know, just the classic either standard, half, PPR. It's nice to get into a league where things are really different because it kind of feels like you're on the same playing field as everybody else. It doesn't matter how long they've been playing fantasy football. You're basically starting at infancy all over again because whatever you think you know about fantasy football for that league is now wrong, which is so much fun to just kind of go back to the basics and go back to the beginning, which is super cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you say the Super QB Premium would be the like strangest league format you've ever had?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But by far. Are you talking about the league I'm in where the QBs are just like through the roof?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is it is the strangest. It is also the most fun. It is the most fun league that I'm in. I'm also in a league with Adam Rank, and we have a QB Premium in that league as well, but nothing near what we have in this other league. In fact, he ended up kind of structuring our league around my other league settings because I would talk to him for my starts and sits, and he's like, what kind of settings does your league have? I have no idea who to tell you who to start. So I had to send it to him, and he's like, this is insane. This is absolutely nuts. But it's, you know, it's fun.
He was like, let's try it.
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
That's fun.
Yeah. My mic also, like, make the watching the games actually more exciting
It does.
Waiting for that bomb. Like,
yeah.
You want to look through the garbage time as well.
I mean, because exciting is sometimes stressful most of the time. That is when you're like, especially because everything seems to go in slow-mo right when the release happens and you're like, who's it going to? It's my guy. Catch the ball. It all takes forever for one play. And you're either super excited because you just won your week, or you're like, I'm done. I hate fantasy football. That's usually how that ends. But it is fun. That's and we have we have people over at our house every single Sunday because the majority of people in our league live in our neighborhood. So we have them all over and we trash talk and throw food at each other. And I make them clean it up because it's my house. So you clean it up. Of course.
Queen of the castle.
Like the league. Yeah. If you remember that series. Or did you watch it?
Which one? The league. I did not watch it. Oh. I need to, though.
Yeah.
Recommendation.
I know. I need to. In fact, a lot of people have recommended I watch it. I'm so bad about that.
If you're in the industry.
I watch four things on TV. Yeah. I know. I need to.
Yeah, I watched that before I even knew anything about fantasy football. I still enjoyed it, so.
I'm a slacker, then. I need to get on that.
That's okay.
Yeah. I don't know where you can find it nowadays.
I'm sure that they can find it in America. In Finland, it's way harder to find everything. Like, it's impossible to find anything good on television in Finland. Like,
yeah, I'm sure we can stream it. What network was it on?
I think it was FX.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we have that because we can get that on our Roku device.
There
stream
you go.
It right there.
Yeah, for your information, we have like Netflix and HBOs and stuff here. So
it's just not as good.
It's different.
It's different. It's different. I've been in both. So anyway.
You can use VPN so you get your American Netflixes.
Yeah, you have to.
If you so wish.
All right, next column, Bonthi. Let's go.
Again? All righty. So, tight ends. I only have one. I'm not going to go through the Kittle and Kelce bit because it's like choose.
But yeah, right.
Zach Ertz, I'm a bit low on him maybe this year against Darren Waller, which is, again, one of these guys that can he repeat or not? And Zach Ertz, right. If it's falling or not.
Right. That is a great comp because I'm speechless here. I think I'm going to stick with Zach Ertz. I am worried about Dallas Goedert eating into his volume. But I'm also worried for the same reason for Darren Waller. There's a lot of mouths to feed in where he is going to be running routes and making plays. I really love the chemistry between Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz, and Alshon Jeffrey, unfortunately, has no timetable for return. So we are minus one wide receiver for the Eagles, and I don't know what's going to happen with DeSean Jackson as well, who's usually that deep threat, but still a mouth to feed. So yeah, I think I'm going to lean Zach Ertz here. And in a couple different mock drafts, I actually saw him going towards the fifth or sixth round. All day long, I will take Zach Ertz around the fifth or sixth round. Give it to me because I think he's going to be really good. Maybe not in that elite tier that we've seen before, but I do like his opportunity and his volume for sure. So I would give him the nod over Darren Waller.
All right. Hayden, do you have an opinion?
Everything that she said about Dallas Goedert, which was very briefly, but she mentioned him, is kind of the reason I'm so afraid of Zach Ertz, because Dallas Goedert is so good.
He is good.
He's amazing.
He is. He's a beast.
And I am not quite as low on Darren Waller as most people are, because, I mean, yeah, he had a great season, an amazing season, but I don't exactly see all the negative reasons for why he wouldn't make it. So I would personally go Darren Waller, but I definitely understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, they're both right there in that comp. It's whoever you feel the most comfortable with. I mean, that's really what that's going to boil down to is, you know, I'm not as high on Darren Waller. You are. So, you know, week six, I'm going to be like, what up, Hayden? Darren Waller pick working for you. And then week seven, you're going to be like, what up, Lauren? How's that Zach Ertz pick working for you? And that's just how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. If everybody felt the exact same about everybody, it'd be a really boring
game. It'd be super boring. It'd be like, I agree. Moving on, rainbows and butterflies. No.
It's like, what's the point on playing?
I know.
If I can't trash talk Auntie about his terrible picks.
And that's another thing, too. Like, I get so many people that ask me, and I love answering questions. That's one of the reasons I love being on social media, is I love helping people with starts and sits. But when somebody's like, what's going to happen with so-and-so? I'm like, dude, if I knew what was going to happen tomorrow, I would own an island in Belize. There are no islands in Belize, are there? Are there islands right off of Belize? I don't know. It just sounds fancy.
I think Belize is
an island. I don't know. I can tell you what I think is going to happen, but don't come at me if I'm wrong. I have reasons for thinking this. Like, just give me a yes or no answer. Like, okay, no. How's that? I have no
50-50.
Idea. 50-50. I know. You take your pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Okay.
Yeah. I also would lean a bit on the Waller side, but it would be a difficult situation for sure. I just think Philly last year, most of their wide receivers were hurt. Injured, so like their wide receiver core was like not there, and Ertz didn't still couldn't bring his A game.
He was hurt too, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean,
he definitely wasn't 100%.
Yeah, he wasn't 100%. That poor whole offense was like just went through a meat grinder. It was awful. Stinks. Mm. Yeah, it wasn't really the best showing for any of those players, but. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being nostalgic and sticking with that chemistry between Wentz and Ertz. But, you know, I mean, tight ends are – and that's what's tough about tight ends is that the gap between the really good tight ends and the other – everybody else is very significant, especially when you're in a tight end premium league, which is very, very difficult to get one of those high-producing guys. So if you can stream the position – and you're not really worried about that, I mean, you can target other guys later. Like Hayden Hurst, isn't he going around the 9th round or something?
Yeah, he's like the tight end 11 or 12, last I checked.
Yeah.
Like you can snag him really, really late.
Yeah. I mean, there's
and Mike Gesicki, like those people that
That's
people
another tend, one I like this year too.
Yeah, people are really high on these guys and they're going super late. So it makes sense that you can wait on the tight ends this year.
Yeah, if you don't buy it on either side, you don't necessarily buy Waller, you definitely don't buy Zach Ertz, wait, stack up other players in those positions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Anthi, do you have more comps or do you want to move on?
Yes, I have one. Juju or OBJ?
Ooh. Juju. Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
I say this with a cringe on my face for anyone who can't see me. I'm like doing a... now that I say that, I want to go right back and take it back and say OBJ. I don't know. I wrote a piece about Juju Smith-Schuster, so I'm gonna go ahead and lean his way. I think if if Ben Roethlisberger can stay healthy this year, I think he's gonna have a bounce back season that we've been needing to see. I really love Deontay Johnson in that offense as well. I like Eric Ebron. I like Chase Claypool, not for redraft guys, but as a flyer in Dynasty, he's definitely worth looking at if someone doesn't already have him, which would be surprising.
Yeah, he's huge.
Well, he's like, I said this on a Fantasy Pros article, but like he's literally like a cheeseburger or two away from being a gigantic tight end. And that's kind of how he plays. And besides Eric Ebron, who's been struggling with a couple health issues, they're very weak at the position. So I'm curious to see how they're going to utilize him and just to free up Juju Smith-Schuster even more. You got some awesome offensive weapons in the run game. We'll see how long James Conner can stay sustainable. But I don't know. I think I want to lean Juju Smith-Schuster in here because I think he has his role carved out for him. And I'm not convinced. Yes, I am convinced OBJ is going to do well. I don't know. I'm giving it to Juju, though. I don't know why, but I'm going to give it to Juju Smith-Schuster. I like them both, though. I think they both have good opportunity this year.
Go with youth, Juju Smith-Schuster. He has a lot more to bounce back from. No, not as much of like an injury history as OBJ. I agree. I would go Juju.
And there's a big difference between what OBJ had to face last year as opposed to what Juju Smith-Schuster had to face last year. He saw two quarterbacks making their debut only to have them switch and then switch back again. And then he was hurt. It was a hot mess. And so I think once that kind of calms down a little bit, I think the landscape looks much better for Juju Smith-Schuster as necessarily opposed to OBJ. But again, OBJ doesn't look horrible either. He's going to be healthy. I think they're going to take a step forward in that offense, but there's a lot of mouths to feed. So I am a little worried about the volume and the end zone looks specifically with Austin Hooper, David Njoku, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. There's so many names there to target in the end zone.
Yeah, and I think also Juju can, like, he doesn't have that much coverage now this year than he had last year. Because Deontay is like 1 year older, one more year mm-hmm. more experience, yep. So he will draw some of that.
Yep.
As we all know, he did great when AB was like taking most of the coverage away.
Yep.
But you know, and maybe they will.
And he's going to go back to the slot too.
Yeah, that's very important. Yeah.
They tried this out wide experiment with Juju Smith-Schuster, and it just did not work. And no knock on his talent, but he does not create very good separation. He is a slot guy, and that is where he needs to stay. And so they have been discussing moving him back to the slot primarily, which is where he feasts on defenses, is in the slot. So that's very exciting too.
For sure. I have one. This last one.
One more.
I like this game.
One more. Great. Yeah. One more. Running backs. So Todd Gurley or Leonard Fournette?
Oh, this is easy for me. Todd Gurley.
So easy?
Easy.
You're high on Atlanta, it seems.
I am. I'm sorry. I'm wearing red right now. Like, I am. I do love Atlanta. I love Atlanta's offense this year. Oh, my gosh. Watch one of my teams be like Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Hayden Hurst, and Todd Gurley. I would not be surprised if that happens.
Yeah, I just finished starting, and I seem that I'm also high on Atlanta. As I said earlier, Matt Ryan, I have him a lot of yards.
Yeah, I absolutely love Atlanta this year. And I like Todd Gurley's opportunity. He is the unquestioned featured back in Atlanta. And even if there are some I keep saying the word sustainability. I guess it's my favorite word today. But if they feel that his knee isn't up for ground and pound running, they can incorporate him into the passing game very well. He has excellent hands as a receiver. So, and you have an excellent quarterback in Matt Ryan to make it happen. So I really, really, especially in PPR formats, I think Todd Gurley is going to finish as an RB1. I think he's going to finish top 12. Leonard Fournette is a perpetual bust for me. He's always a bust candidate for me. I think he's an excellent player, but I think his time of like fantasy stardom has come and gone. I don't know. So that's just me personally. I would feel way more comfortable going with Todd Gurley than Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, me too. And it's not even close.
Yeah, exactly.
I completely agree. I have Todd Gurley as that guy that if you want to grab like your stud wide receiver super early, you could wait on Todd Gurley and maybe sneak him at the end of the second where I don't know where he's going right now. And he could be that guy that finishes easily as a top five because he's done it so many times.
Oh yes. And he's actually going, if it's still the same, I'm not quite sure if it is still the same, but when I did my piece, he was going as late as the seventh round in some mocks. I mean, that was in PPR too, which didn't make any sense to me. So maybe those were just incorrect stats that
bad
I looked at.
Bad mocks, maybe.
Maybe bad mocks. I'm not sure. But I just really, really like what his opportunity is this year. And it just, gimme, gimme, gimme. I guess I am just gung-ho Atlanta, which is funny because I'm a Saints fan. I mean, sort of. My Rams left me, you know, to go back to their second wife in LA. So I'm going to go to hang out with the sister city. Plus, I love New Orleans, so... And the fleur-de-lis is on the St. Louis flag, and they're black and gold, just like my Mizzou Tigers. So go Saints. Who dat?
All right. Cool.
There you go. That was a lot of sports just there. And like one
I know. Sample. Sorry. Just like boom, boom, boom. Can't help it. I just.
No, I love it.
Use my microphone if I just keep going too much. You'd be like, what happened to Lauren? We have no idea.
No, it's all good.
I guess you like the Blues then?
Oh, Auntie, my friend. Yes. Sorry. That was really loud. But I have a little Stanley Cup replica right there behind me.
Well deserved.
I'm still celebrating winning the Stanley Cup. As far as I'm concerned, we're still Stanley Cup champs, even in 2020. Let's go! Yeah, I am a huge St. Louis Blues fan. Huge. Cool. And St. Louis Cardinals as well.
It was a great story. I mean, being the dead last year.
Worst of first, man. And my favorite player was the MVP, actually, Ryan O'Reilly. I love Ryan O'Reilly. He's so scrappy. He reminds me a lot of Nick Foles, actually. They're just very comparison between those two players. And we recently got a new cat, and I named him O'Reilly after Ryan O'Reilly. And my brothers think I'm crazy. They're huge hockey fans, but I'm actually a bigger hockey fan than they are. I name my pets after hockey players.
Not only a bigger one, but a better one.
Thank you.
There you go.
I agree. Yeah. I'm insane about it. I don't care. And thank God that my husband and all of our friends are 100% in support, because his best friend, also my best friend too, Penguins fan. Another one's a Flyers fan. We got a lot of sports going on in this neighborhood, which we miss very, very much. Please come back.
Yeah, we are Hurricanes fans with Hayden.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Well, we have all the Finns. Had a bunch of Finns. Now we have two of them. And that's where I'm from, my hometown. So just worked out that way.
And those two are the best you have. So
they're basically all they have. But
yeah, I'm a huge hockey guy as well, of course.
Yeah, awesome. See, we're best friends now.
Yeah, coming to Finland, it's basically their biggest export to America, I guess, would be hockey players.
We'll take them.
Yeah, close.
We'll take
goalies especially. I mean, like, we have 5 million people and 10 goalies in the NHL starting, so
yeah. Jordan Binnington, speaking of the worst to first, he was just a no name that came in and basically turned our entire season around. How did we get started on hockey in a football podcast? I'm sorry, guys.
We do this all the time because of Antti is like a hockey guy, and
I'm here with you now. Yes.
Yeah, and if you're into it, Antti will go down that rabbit hole, I'm sure. Were there any Finns on that Blues team?
Not that moment. No, they used to be.
Yeah, I can't think of any off the top of my head, although I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Yeah, they had like Tero Lehtran and Sorch, but not the moment, no.
Mm. Okay.
Not that I know of now.
They might have someone in the farm in the AHL.
But yeah, we that's have hard to know.
The goalies in the AHL team.
Cool. But if you don't mind, maybe I'll turn it back to fantasy now. Fantasy. <All right.
laughs> You're allowed.
Okay, thank you. You talked a little bit that last year Mark Andrews was your like golden child that was like turned out to be show how smart you are. Do you have somebody like that?
I was just going to say that he makes me look really smart. Continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. Is there anybody that you have like that this year?
Oh, you know, not really. I really don't have one that is kind of a no-name yet. Off-season is not over yet, my friends. Mm-hmm. And research is just beginning into some of these names. Usually that will – I'll find those guys when I'm researching something else. Mm-hmm. But really not yet. Not the top of my head. But you guys will be the first to know if I do – find somebody. Now, as soon as we're done with this podcast, I'd be like, why didn't I think that? Yeah. But yeah, not off the top of my head.
Well, when you write an article, your article about him, you'll have to send it our way.
I will. I will send it right over to you guys just to see if you agree or not, A, and B, be like, sorry, I didn't have anything for your podcast at the time. But we do what I like to cover usually in July and in August, I believe, for the fantasy footballers is some of my favorite pieces are guys to not forget. And usually those are looking at late round running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. That's kind of where I can find those gems where you would never expect this player to explode. And then the possibility for them to do so is right there. But if they miss, you're not wasting a ton of draft capital on them, which is what I love. I love looking for those sleepers, those guys that we may just kind of in one ear, out the other. I like those a lot. So we'll see if anything gets uncover or reveals itself during that research, which is always fun because, like I said before, I become Alice and I fall down the rabbit hole and my ears bleed statistics and I can't with my life.
When you did your statting, I assume that you have done statting.
Yeah, I don't really. I let the fantasy footballers do that for me. Right. I don't bother with statting out. I'll either agree or disagree with the stats. That's usually how I go. So, actually, but speaking of which, there is an article series in the Fantasy Footballers. They put together a writer of ours. I believe it was Michael Wenrick did it anyway. But it's how to do your own stats. It's a three-part series. And I started looking at it, and I was like, that sounds like a lot of work. I'll just rely on Andy, Mike, and Jason.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just about to finish mine.
Oh, man. Hats off to everyone who stats out like that. No, thank you. I will rely on people smarter than me, like y'all, to get that done. I'll just work off of your stuff.
Yeah. Not necessarily that I'm like smart, but maybe just like understand why my ideas are what they are.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it reveals a lot of things about the 2020 season that if you don't stat them out, you don't necessarily find, which is what I'm missing by not statting out. I like to find mine in other ways, usually environmental changes and things like that that are going on with a player. But yeah, I cannot focus long enough to stat things out like that. And again, hats off to all the podcasters and researchers and analysts that spend so much time doing it. It's so hard. It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, let's see if we do this next year.
Yeah, I think it was like 100 hours.
It's crazy. It is really crazy. And then everything changes in the drop of a hat. You know, with one trade or one injury, it's just throw it all up in the air.
Yeah. For example, now the commute, the news, it's like.
Oh, yeah. Now it's like, redo.
They had to blow up all the Patriots stats, essentially.
Literally.
Give it like another hour just to play around with them. But luckily, you could just kind of edit them. But yeah, again. Did you have a question about it, Antti?
Yeah, I was about to ask that, which team was the hardest for you. But maybe we can ask in the sense that now with all the changes, all the offseason and stuff like that, if you were to do statting, what team do you think that would be the hardest for you to stat?
Right. Well, even though it's not statting per se, the hardest team for me to get a handle on are the Patriots. That is the one that is very difficult. And I would assume, I would guess it might be the same when you're looking at the stats and the numbers, which are basically kind of what you're doing in stats. You're looking at each individual player. You're going to project out where you think they're going to finish in terms of targets, receptions, touchdowns, things of that nature. And with this rotating quarterback, who's going to be the starter? What's this new era going to look like without Tom Brady? What does this mean for the wide receivers? You know, what does this mean for the running backs? Is Sony Michel going to be able to have some opportunity? I'm so nebulous about it. You know, whereas you look at Tampa Bay that now has Tom Brady, I feel that's a little bit less nebulous than what he left in New England. You know, I still know Chris Godwin's going to be good. I still know Mike Evans is going to be good, even though Chris Godwin is that wide receiver one. I know there's a lot of talk about it. But I think the Patriots are difficult for me to wrap my head around and really try to feel confident in what I can project them to do and where I feel good drafting them. I don't know.
Yeah, Patriots for sure was like, especially now after the recent news. And also some other teams that have like QB, like we don't know who's going to start and how many games in the QB department, like Chargers, Chicago, Miami. Those were also pretty difficult to stat.
Yeah, Chargers, I bet, would be difficult as well, for sure.
Yeah.
Good old Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. He's the quarterback that you hate to put in there, but then eventually you start your rookie and everything turns around. Look at the Browns, and I guess it didn't really work out for the Bills back in the way back. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting year for the Chargers.
It will.
Yeah. Talking about the Chargers, the one guy you said that people you don't want to forget, my guy would be Mike Williams.
Yeah, that's a good one. Definitely a good one.
Might even surpass Keenan Allen this year.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all.
Yeah.
Nope.
That would be like my pick for that.
I like it. Spicy.
Yeah, there you go. You should write an article, Antti. We have a space for it on our website. We need an article there, so you should write that.
I have only
one more question. So if you have more questions, go ahead with them, Antti.
No, I think I'm done for the day.
All right. Well, before I ask this last question, I really want to thank you for coming on because this was absolutely amazing and a long time coming because you were one of our first – like people that would like retweet the stuff that we were doing. So you've been a big help to getting us situated on Twitter. So we really appreciate it. And we're really glad that
you're here. My pleasure. You guys do great work. So thanks. For sure. And thank you so much for having me on. It's my honor. I think I was saying before, I can't remember which one I was talking to, but I was like, Stepmom Lauren's going international. Let's go.
And you made a great you're going to make a great impression when this airs. So
I hope so. They're not like, who is this weird American girl? Turn it off. Would she talk?
For sure.
No, we have to import our talent because all the good American football talent comes from the States anyway. So
Yes. We'd love to do like maybe mid-season. We would like to do like a recap of how our predictions have been.
Heck yeah. I'm all about that. I am all about that. anytime, just let me know if it works out with my schedule, for sure. You guys don't even have to ask twice. I would love to come back on, for sure.
That's great to hear.
That's a great idea. We'll go through everything that we asked today, and we'll see how it panned out about halfway through the season.
I will conveniently forget everything I said, unless I was right. Then I'll be like, see, I told you.
I knew that, of course. Yeah. So, yeah, last question. Is there a guy that the industry seems to be high on that you are not high on at all?
Ooh. This is a good question. Do you have an answer to this one, Auntie, while I look? Because I know there's a couple names. Okay, well, Joe Mixon is an obvious one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to throw out one that may be unpopular. I'm going to throw out Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
I'm
going to
throw that out there. I think Mecole Hardman takes some big steps forward in that offense. And I think it's going to eat into Tyreek Hill's shares. He's still going to finish really well, though. So I don't know if that really classifies as answering your question.
No, it's fair. Maybe not a first-round talent like he's being drafted right now.
Yeah, maybe. He might finish a little bit later than people like. I'm just going through, actually, Fantasy Football Calculator right now just to see. You know, Amari Cooper is another one who's going towards the end of the second round, which isn't a horrible place for him to go. But with the addition of CeeDee Lamb, that is very interesting. While I don't necessarily agree drafting him in redraft very high, unless it's towards the end like we talked about before, I'm curious to see whether or not this is going to cut into his doing very well at home kind of persona. Because as we know, he doesn't travel well. He plays very well at home. So how much is CeeDee Lamb going to be affecting that? Or is he going to be, you know, eating into Michael Gallup? I'm not sure. But I wonder if Amari Cooper is going just a little bit too hyped for his new situation in Dallas. So those are two that kind of are at the top of my head. I did have to cheat and look at the sheet. But
it's fair enough. What about people like Kenny Golladay? You like Kenny Golladay?
I do. I am high on Kenny Golladay, mostly because I'm high on Matt Stafford. Mm. I love that he's healthy finally. He is he's such a good quarterback on such a crap team. My husband is a Michigander, so he is a Lions fan. He understands. But I like him, and I think Marvin Jones is going to be – he's Mr. King of value in drafts. He goes late, and he can have blow-up games, but Kenny Golladay is going to be that PPR monster this year. So I do like him, and he is going high, though, but I think it's deserved. I think it is deserved.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to drop a teaser here for later rounds, since you asked my opinion as well. I have a wide receiver one, which is not Michael Thomas. So what? You guys has to wait who's the number one for, in my opinion.
You're not going to tell us now?
Nah.
That's
give
me.
People reason yeah, to visit our website.
There you go. Okay, well, that's a reason. Maybe we'll tell you
off higher on Michael. Yeah, also I'm higher on Michael Gallup than most people are. I'm not so high on CeeDee Lamb. So.
Okay, so you are, and see, I agree because people ask me, is it Amari Cooper? Is it Michael Gallup? And I just published my piece on Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp. So maybe I'll dive into those two next, Amari Cooper or Michael Gallup, because of this whole CeeDee Lamb thing. And it is, from what I've heard, it's been very 50-50 on if people really believe in Amari Cooper more or they believe in Michael Gallup more because of this coming year. And I have to say, I lean Michael Gallup as well. Amari Cooper isn't consistent enough for me.
I still have Amari higher than Michael Gallup. But value-wise, I think Michael Gallup is going to be good.
Yeah.
Because he's going to drop for sure because of CeeDee Lamb.
I'll look into it.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, actually, that article that you were talking about, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, was the whole idea behind this episode. So
yeah. Well, I'll give a little teaser to it because it should publish later this week. But there is one stat that can actually give us some insight into 2020 if it holds true for next year, and that is how Sean McVay changed his offense after phasing out Todd Gurley and basically Brandon Cooks as well. So someone shot up, someone fell down in snap counts, red zone targets, actually not red zone targets, but snap counts, opportunity on the field, and it was a tale of two seasons for those two players.
Okay, so I guess we'll have to check out that article then to get the whole
You're not the only one who can tease something. Is it Auntie or Auntie? Am I saying that weird?
Yeah, it's Auntie, yeah.
Auntie, see? Yeah. I can't even say people's names right. Don't listen to me.
Well, it's not an international name, so don't worry. I just have people call me Andy. It's so much easier.
I get called "Hey you" a lot. Like, you're that one chick, right? Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's me.
You write football stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hayden calls every football player in the world. What's his name?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 That one guy. I love that. When people ask me a fantasy question, like, who's that one guy on that one team?
Yeah.
Can you be a little bit more specific?
I had over under 1,000 rushing yards last year, I'm sure. So.
Yeah. Sure.
Basically, everybody, I don't know what it is about Chicago, but every player on Chicago to me is, what's his name from Chicago? I don't know why. I can't remember anybody on that team's name, but it is. Huh. And I have Allen Robinson on my team, but every time I'm trying to think of Allen Robinson, it's always like, what's his name?
I do get confused for some reason in my brain, Allen Robinson and Alshon Jeffrey. For some reason, I know they're not the same person, but for some reason, my mouth says Alshon.
Yeah.
And it's saying Allen. I don't know. That does happen to me sometimes, though.
Yeah. It's just a weird thing about that team, I guess.
No one's no one's talking about David Montgomery either.
Yeah. Forgettable team.
So maybe that's why you don't know.
There you go. Yeah. But yeah. Oh, thank you so much for coming on. I hope that you had as much fun as I did. I honestly could talk about stuff with you for a really long time. I could keep
going. Yeah, me too. Are you kidding me? I'm having a blast. This has been absolute. I didn't say blast again because I couldn't think of another fun word to say. So I'm just repeating myself now.
But it was a blast. I would agree. But before we go, is there anything that you would like to tell the people at home, maybe where they can find you?
Sure. So you guys can find me on social media at StepmomLauren. And all of my work, guys, I put on my website. It's stepmomlauren.com. Just type it right in that URL. Sometimes Googling it can bring up inappropriate results that are not me, but they're there, just so you know. So just type it right in that address bar, stepmomlauren, LAUREN.com. I am a writer for the Fantasy Footballers, Andy, Mike, and Jason, and also a new contributor to Fantasy Bros.
Right. Wonderful. Right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
What up. Moro, moro, mitä poro. That's Finnish, and it means what's up, reindeer, in short.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode, or all of our previous episodes. We hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. That is the most important thing.
Go and listen to us in Spotify, in Apple Pod, and all the other major podcast platforms.
And if you have any questions or you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at NFG Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We hope to see you there.
Moro, moro.